Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Thomas Henry. And again, today you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. We had a great broadcast on yesterday as we talked about our vestments biblical. And I just want to pick up from that program on yesterday and further develop that particular thought and carry on with that onto today. And hopefully what we say will actually be a blessing to each and every one of you that hear this particular program, since we try to share with you thoroughly and biblically the various traditions of the church, the various things of the church as we can find them in Holy Scripture and as confirmed by the very history and tradition of the church. With that being said, let's continue our talk on vestments today as we look at this subject today. Why should we wear vestments? Why should we wear vestments? Now, I must say something off at the very beginning of this broadcast to clarify something, that there is a difference between what is clerical and what is vestment. Okay, I said it again. I don't know if you caught that. There is a difference between what is considered to be clerical and what is considered to be vestment. There is, all because it is clerical does not mean that it is vestment. And because it is vestment does not mean it is clerical. You know, clerical deals with what is technically street attire. I know that kind of confuses a lot of our brothers and sisters every time we bring it up, but it is needful to bring it up so that we can properly understand what is what. Vestments is what you wear in worship. Clerical is what you wear on the street. Vestment is what you cover your clericals with, so that your clericals and street attire are under the vestment. You follow me? There is a difference between clerical and vestment. I said it one more time. There's a difference between what is clerical and what is vestment. I know some people argue about this relentlessly and say, well, in the black church, there's no difference between what is clerical and vestment. No, what the problem is that people have not been taught correctly, and thereby they are using terminology that is not correct. And so it is up for us as leaders and as bishops to clarify the terminology that is being used so that said terminology can be used correctly. 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 And so with that being said, let's deal with a few things today. The Bible specifically speak of an hierarchy of all believers, where hierarchy actually means priesthood. The Bible speaks that of there is a priesthood of all believers, but the Bible never says that there is a presbytery of all believers. I have been looking for that quote, God knows, ever since I used to be on a MySpace, because somebody had preached at a clergy conference, and then not only the clergy conference, but when I was attending Bethany Divinity College and Theological Seminary, the dean used that phrase quite often, that there is a priesthood of all believers, hierarchy, priesthood of all believers, but there is not a presbytery of all believers. Now, you got to remember, Dean Sherman is Baptist. He's an independent Baptist. will tell you that there, even though there is a priesthood of all believers, there is not a presbytery of all believers. There are different callings and vocations in the universal priesthood of all believers. So then, how do we differentiate who is who? We do it just like they do in the natural world through what we call uniforms, the uniform that a person wears. Clergy from the old days even to now. And the sad thing is that the sad thing is that the church world tend to fight vestments while at the same time demanding that the secular world have vestments for their particular offices. Yet the Bible is not against, as we said yesterday, the Bible is not against clerical attire or clerical vestments. Notice what I just said. The Bible is not against clerical attire nor clerical vestments. God sanctioned the first sets of garments to be worn. He detailed what they needed to be. He detailed how people were supposed to approach the altar. Yet in church today, people want to approach the altar of God any and every kind of way, like they have a right to do it. And all that is, brothers and sisters, all that is again what we see in the book of Judges, that every man and woman is trying to do what is right within their own eyes instead of doing what is right according to Scripture that has been done in the Bible and comes through us by way of tradition as well. And tradition is not a bad word. If done correctly, it is not a bad word. So let me say this again. There is a priesthood, a hierarchy of all believers, but there's not a presbytery of all believers. There is a particular group the Bible called presbyteros. We have a teaching presbyteros, the bishop. We have a ruling presbyteros, the elder. We have a diakonos, which is the deacon. We have a dikavos, which is a deacon, a female deacon. We have widows in the church. We have different callings and stations in the church. But the unique thing about it is that a uniform speaks to authority. There's several Greek words that are used in the Bible that deals with authority and power and strength and all these other things, several different Greek words. But two of them in particular I want to bring up today. And as relates to clerical attire and clerical vestments, the uniform that clergy wears, exousia. I'm going to say it again. The Bible talks about authority, having authority. God giving us authority. He gives us authority. And this word authority in the scriptures, Jesus said, all power is given unto me. All exousia is given unto me in heaven and earth. And after he says that, then he gives them that same exousia and said, go ye therefore, through the authority that I have, go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of God, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. He says in Matthew's gospel that he gave them exousia, power, the authority, to cast out devils and to heal the sick. Do you hear what I'm saying? The uniform that clergy wear speaks to their exousia, their authority. I say it again. The clerical uniform, the clerical attire, the clerical vestment speaks to the clergy authority. Do you understand that clergy in a clerical shirt and collar get more respect than a clergy person without such? Why? Because when they are in uniform, they represent the authority of God. They look like they are an ambassador of God, because the convention in society today, that's a big word there, it doesn't, because sometimes people say, because if it ain't written down, it's not a rule. That's not true, because it's written down. It doesn't. A rule does not have to be written down in order to be a rule. There are a lot of things that we do in the United States of America, we do not because it is in the Constitution, but because, watch this, it is common law or common convention. Not because we have legislated it, but because of common law, common convention, we do such. A lot of things we do. We do it not because the law discusses every minute detail. The same thing with the church. There are certain things we do in church not because everything is minutely mentioned in Scripture. We do it because we have the authority to do it. We have the exousia. And the judge, is when he's in his role, in his judicial role, we know he has to be respected. And if you don't respect him while he's in his judicial role, you will be charged and probably jailed for contempt of court. If you disrespect a police officer who is in his uniform, you could be arrested or maybe shot or something else. Somebody can probably get me for that one right there. Because his uniform represents his exousia, his authority, his power to operate, his power to do what he does. Are you hearing what I'm saying? His authority. Every element of society, doctors wear a uniform. Nurses wear a uniform. In the old days, teachers wore a robe. Not, they don't do it in the, they haven't did it in a long time. In places in Europe, when you go to certain schools in Europe, the teachers still wear their robes while they're teaching classes. Some of you in the United States say, that's just too much. That's why it's so good to learn other cultures. That's why it's so good to get out of your little closed-minded self and learn other society, other places. For example, let me throw something out here as I talk about uniforms. I was reading where this lady wrote a book, and in her book she kind of spouted out what a lot of other folks spout out, which is not true. She said it is incorrect for clergy to wear the cross hanging instead of, she said it is more correct to put the cross inside the left pocket so it can be over the heart. But what she failed to realize is not called a heart cross, a corda cross. Corda means heart in Latin. It is called a pectoral cross because it is worn on their chest. And since civic attire used to be the cassock alone, hallelujah, you wore the cross hanging. And now that civic attire has been expanded to be the black suit and black clericals, you don't have to have it in your pocket if that is not your tradition. There are Lutherans. See, that's why it's so good to learn in everything else beyond your own tradition and beyond what some of these folks are teaching, because they're only teaching this stuff one-sided instead of giving you a very holistic picture. Anglicans make, some Anglicans wear it in a pocket, some wear it hanging. Eastern Orthodox wear their cross hanging. Lutherans, for the most part, wear the cross hanging. We have people in the African-American church that will fight you tooth and nail if you have your cross hanging instead of in your left pocket. And that's no, it's no, that the convention is on this. There's not a set rule. I can't even, unless I missed something when I read the book that dealt with the prelates, the costumes of the prelates of the Roman Catholic Church, I didn't see anything, unless I missed something. I don't think I missed anything, because at the time that book was published, there was no a clergy attire that was suits. And the black suit, purely being a Roman Catholic thing, is only considered to be that, especially that for the American church, because the Boston Plenary Council. That's why you got to study. That's why you got to look this stuff up. And don't believe everything people teach you. Go look it up for yourself. The Boston Plenary Council for the Roman Catholic Church in the United States legislated that the clergy in this country, if they did not wear cassocks, they had to wear a black suit and the black shirt, full neckband. And this has become something that has been, oh, watch this. Because the clergy shirt was not invented by the Roman Catholics. The clergy shirt was invented by a Presbyterian minister who was a part of the Church of Scotland by the name of Reverend Donald McLeod in the late 1800s, middle 1800s. Purple became an Episcopal shirt color because of the Anglicans in the late 1800s. And so this idea of wearing the cross in the pocket, there is no Anglicans actually don't wear purple shirts for their bishops because of a rule. They watch this. I'm going to say the term again. They wear it because of common law or common convention. The Church of England, their canons actually only list the minimum that a person should wear when conducting a service, which is an alb or stole or either a cassock surplice and a tippet. Doesn't list a lot of these other rules that we talk about. But this is a rule. This is a rule. Some of these rules are done because of convention or what we call common law or common convention. They're not did because it's wrote in somebody's protocol book. Now, there are people, because I'm going to be one of them, that are writing, that have wrote books on protocol, on clergy vestments. They have compiled together some of these conventional laws and some of these actual codified laws. Notice I said conventional laws and codified laws and put them together in a book so that people can understand where these traditions came from. Some of these don't even give you where these traditions came from. They speak as though these traditions are already canonicus, canon law, juris canonicus. I say it like that. They speak as though they're already juris canonicus, which means canon law. But they don't understand some of these traditions come about because they are convention. And it's good that I mentioned convention because the origin of the clergy collar, actually, according to the Wesleyan, make sure I said the name of that church correct because I don't want to misquote the name of the church, the Wesleyan Methodist Church, which is also known as the Independent Methodist Christian Denomination, where Ken Collins, one of the people, he has a site online, I believe he's affiliated with them as well, mentioned about the rabbinical robes, the black rabbinical robe and the white press shawl that would be around their neck. And that from this Jewish tradition, which has poured over into the Islamic tradition and the Christian tradition of clergy wearing black robes. Jesus, if he is what the Bible says he is, a Jewish rabbi, Jesus would have worn a black rabbinical robe with a white press shawl either tied around his neck or over his head. Now, if that be the case, that will explain why, before the clerical collar was invented, why we see the black robes throughout Europe and the what we call the preaching bands, the bands, hanging bands coming down, because that was very popular among a lot of clergy. Before the clergy collar was invented, the preaching bands, the hanging preaching bands, the bands with a little white rope that tied that you hid in your collar, and the bands was hanging down. John Wesley is famous for wearing preaching bands even before Reverend Dr. Donald McLeod invented the clergy collar. But the preaching bands descend from the Jewish white press shawl. Jesus would have wore clerical vestment. We talked about that in the last program. If you don't believe me, listen to the last program and you'll see what we've been talking about and see what we discuss and see what we have taught you and shown you on some of these various programs. That's why it's good to know, good to read. It's good, my brothers and sisters, to read. It is good. It is good. It's good. It's good. I got, like I said, I got people who are listening to this stuff, and I'm trying to make sure that the specific and the correct information, the right information, so that we can go forward in God, and we can all be on one accord in one place. And God is good. God, my brother and sister, is very good, and he's worthy to be praised. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So Jesus would have wore a clerical garment. He would have wore the clergy collar. He would have wore vests. He would have wore all of this stuff. He would have, this lady grabbed the hem of his garment. Jesus, if Jesus wore the black robe like the Pharisees did, and nine times he did, because, like I said in the last program, they recognized him only as rabbi. They didn't have cameras like we have today. They didn't have television like we have today. They didn't have all of this other stuff like we have today. So nobody would have really recognized who he was unless they had seen him before. And we know this to be a fact because, like I said in the last program, is that Jesus was able to be in the middle of the crowd without his garments on, and people was talking about him face to face and even know who they were talking about because Jesus did not wear his garments that day and they did not recognize him. The reason why they called him by his first name, why they didn't say Jesus, but they said Master Rabboni or Rabbi or Teacher, because they saw his garments and they called him what they saw. Just like when I walked the streets of Atlanta, Georgia, during the first COAF Congress, me and one of the apostles that was there, we walked the streets, and one of the other people that came, and when I walked across the streets at Five Points, the police officer that was at the corner reached out and extended his hand and said, "Hey, Bishop, how you doing, sir?" Not because he knew me, because he didn't know me, but I didn't have on a purple shirt or a red shirt. He knew I was a bishop, first of all, because I had on the right clothes that showed the people that I was a clergy. I had the black shirt on, the black suit, black shoes, black socks, and a full neck band collar. And not only that, but I had on a chain. It does not have to be a gold chain or silver chain. It could be a platinum chain. It could be a stainless steel chain. The rule is it just had to be a chain of precious metal or a wooden cross. You didn't know that, did you? A lot of folks are teaching, well, bitch can only wear a gold chain. Bitch can only wear this and that. No. The rule is a chain of precious metal or a wooden cross. That's the rule. That's the real rule. But going back to what I was saying earlier, because I don't want to get too sidetracked here. Why should we wear, in these last 7.5 minutes, why should we wear clerical vestments and clerical attire? Why? Because, first of all, it's about the difference between exousia and dunamis. Our uniform that we wear represents the exousia we have from God, the authority and power we have from God to act on his behalf as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Remember, he said, our weapons of our warfare, our dunamis, our weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds and all that other good stuff. The word of God becomes our dunamis. Sometimes we can't pull out that minister's card out of your wallet. You may not have a small, minute minister card in your wallet to show somebody your preacher, but that clergy collar readily identifies you as clergy. Readily identifies you as clergy. Matter of fact, in England, it is called a dog collar. Excuse me. A dog collar. Literally, I am yoked to the Lord. As Paul said, Paul that said, we are fellow yokemen of the gospel. But Paul also said, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm yoked to Jesus Christ. And I wear this collar to let people know I am yoked to Christ. I am his, and he is mine. Just like a husband and a wife will wear a wedding band around their finger, on their ring finger, to show that they are married, they are in covenant with each other. My clergy collar shows and identifies that not only am I a clergy person, not only am I a bishop and I'm an apostle and a pastor in the Lord's church, but it identifies that I am married and yoked to Jesus Christ, that I have been called by him for the work of the ministry that I have been called to. There is no confusion. There is no mixed message when I wear my clergy collar. If I'm wearing it with blue jeans and the black shirt, or if I'm wearing with the black suit and blue jeans and the black shirt, and when I'm working or when I'm doing it and I'm actually on assignment and not just on a relaxed day but on assignment, doing hospital visitation with the full black suit on, it shows that I am not just a layperson, but I am a clergyman. It allows people to see who I am. It becomes a visible testimony, a martyro, a witness to the world that I have been called by God for such a time as this, for this assignment. This collar represents that I am of the right age, I am of the right maturity, that I exhibit that I am supposed to have a good report inside the church and outside the church. That clergy collar is a constant reminder to me that I have to watch my personal testimony and my personal witness of God. When I wear that collar, it reminds me very well when I feel it choking my neck and folks done did some things that made me might want to cuss them out and made me want to beat them down. That clergy collar reminds me I am not my own. I belong to him. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I represent Jesus Christ in this world. And if I represent him, if I stand in persona Christi, in the person of Christ in this world, that I have to watch what I do because people will only see the Jesus that's in me. Before they get to heaven and stand before his throne, the only Jesus they'll know is the Jesus in us. And so I have to be careful, preachers, apostles, bishops, what have you, when they don that collar tells them they can't act any kind of way. They cannot behave any kind of way. They cannot do what they want to do. Sometimes we get in these clergy collars and we think it's a license to manipulate people, it's a license to hurt people, it's a license to use people, but this collar means that I am accountable to God and I'm accountable to his people. Clergy collar and clergy attire represent that I am being, it shows a continuity. That's a nice word right there. It shows that I am connected with the ministry of Jesus Christ. If Jesus obeyed the laws of his time and dressed like a rabbi, why can I not dress like a clergy person today would dress? And clerical attire today is the black shirt, usually, and the black, even though we have other clergy, you got other clerical color shirts. But the convention, the popular convention, is that you are readily recognized as a clergy person with the black shirt on. I remember myself and a couple of bishops from the Coab Congress last year was at either Waffle House or the Hutter House. It was one of the little restaurants over there in Decatur, Georgia. And we was eating at that particular restaurant, not really Decatur, but it was a little north of Decatur. And we was eating at that restaurant, and this white family was there, and they was of the Assemblies of God. And they looked at me and said, "You're a bishop, aren't you? Because we see your shirt. We noticed your shirt you have on." Even though the other guys had on purple shirt, he said, "No, they're just the regular pastors, but you're the bishop. You are the bishop because of your shirt." You understand, people recognize what you have on, and they recognize you as a clergy based on what you have. Because you have no, that is, clergy shirt is not Roman Catholic. I just told you earlier, and I told you on yesterday's program, it is a Protestant invention. It is a Protestant item. Lord have mercy, I got 90 minutes left, and I'm not even finished with everything I want to talk about today. Let's see if I can finish it real quick. I just told you, the clerical collar, the clerical vest attire, when I'm in my street clothes, when I'm in my civic attire, my street clothes. Remember, civic attire is not pulpit clothes. Civic attire, street clothes, I become a walking testimony. When I have the clergy collar on, it says I am available at all times for the work of the gospel, not just for my own little clergy congregation, not only for my own communion, but I am available for the work of the gospel for society at large. When I wear that collar, when I walk the streets, I'm not just the pastor of Christian life. I'm not just the bishop of the Diocese of St. Paul in the state of Georgia. I'm not just the Archbishop of the Apostolic Communion Church. I'm not just the Primus Archbishop of the Congress of Apostles and Bishops. I'm a bishop in the Lord's Church, not just only representing my local congregation, my state congregation, or my national congregation, but I'm representing a bishop. I'm representing an office in the Lord's Church, in the Universal Church. And when I wear that collar, I am saying that I am an officer in the army of God. I'm not just a lay person, a private in the army, but I am an officer. I'm a lieutenant. I'm a general. As a bishop and apostle, I'm in the body of Christ. And when I wear that collar, it shows that my life is not my own. I have been bought with a price. My life belongs to God. I am a servant of his. I am a doulos, Paul says, a slave of Jesus Christ. My life is no more. It's no more I. But it's Christ that lives in me. God bless you. You have a great day. And you have been listening to the Apostolic Voice.